Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Kevin Kumashiro, who is the Dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco. He was formerly the Chair of Educational Policy Studies and the founding director of the Center for Anti-Oppressive Education and president of the National Association for Multicultural Education. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kevin Kumashiro.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian.
And here in Los Angeles, tomorrow, Tuesday, there's an important election, and most of the money seems to be being spent, although the mayor, who's an incumbent, doesn't really have any challenges of spending a ton of money advertising himself all over TV, which is somewhat mysterious. But the real action, if you will, and attention is on the school board race here, where it's quite possible that the charter school supporters will win a controlling majority on the Los Angeles Board of Education, and they're running a whole bunch of candidates with seemingly unlimited money against the school board president, Steve Zimmer, the incumbent. And it just seems to be in this era of the Trump administration's notion of school choice that this is a formidable juggernaut that Trump and Betsy DeVos have unleashed on the country. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that there's very concerted efforts right now to control decision-making bodies in education. And actually, the attempt by a lot of kind of astroturf organizations, right, these kind of organizations that are putting a lot of money into candidates for local school board election, should remind us of very successful strategizing back in the 80s and early 90s by Christian rights or Christian fundamentalist organizations that realized that a lot of really important decision making happened not only at the federal and state level, but also at the local school board level. And they were very successful at getting people who aligned with Christian fundamentalist ideas to take over really the majority of school boards across the country back then. So this is something very similar, where it's a subset of the population who sees that this is an opportunity to shape public schools, who are being very strategic. And so the school board election in Los Angeles is certainly not the only place, nor are elected school boards the only ways that we're trying to gain control over or where we're seeing these kinds of battles happen. And I think, you know, struggles over charter schools is part of the larger struggle over or movement towards school choice, which absolutely then connects with the Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos agenda. And, you know, I would just sort of point out three really important things to think about. One is that charter schools, while they have these really great goals at their origins, right, it emerged as a movement that was really about saying we need a space to be experimenting, to be creative, that are driven by the ideas of the community and of the profession. And not surprisingly, there are some really good charter schools out there. But the question isn't, are there some good charter schools? The question is, when we charterize a district, in other words, when we allow charter schools to proliferate, does that actually strengthen the overall system? Does that improve public schools overall? And I think the research is really quite clear that although there are some great charter schools, the system overall isn't improving, particularly for the students who struggle the most. And this leads to my second point, which is what we see with DeVos and Trump, particularly the call to greatly expand school choice. You know, let's look at Michigan as the track record of what would actually happen. People have called Michigan an incredibly expensive, dismal failure to try to improve public schools, because that's not actually what happened, right? She led the charge not only to allow all sorts of charter schools to open, but to also deregulate, in other words, to get rid of the oversight of charter schools. And not surprisingly, the achievement gap has actually widened in Michigan rather than improved. And so this then leads to my third point, which is, I think if we want to talk about school improvement, we can't be looking for these magic bullets like simply flinging the doors open to charter school without anything else in place. What we actually need to do is think about how we strengthen the system that needs to be working together. You know, the idea that it takes a village to raise a child is very appropriate. It's very applicable to how we think about school improvement. And that's what we need. We need leaders, whether it's school board members or others, who see the bigger picture of school reform and aren't simply looking for that magic bullet.
And of course, in Detroit, the public school system has been absolutely eviscerated. And again, the multimillionaire couple, Eli and Edith Broad of the Broad Foundation, were big advocates of charter schools and vouchers in the state of Michigan, in particular in Detroit. And the results have been devastating, but they are also behind this new group called Great Public Schools Now, which is the spearheading this charter movement here in Los Angeles. And of course, the other major donor to the charter schools is the former mayor of Los Angeles, Richard Reardon, a multimillionaire who's given $1 million to try and knock off the school board president, Steve Zimmer. And what they're doing there is they're running two charter-backed candidates, Allison Holdoff Polehill and Nick Melvoin, in the hope that they could prevent Zimmer from getting past the runoff. And there's somebody else running as well to dilute that vote as well. So the question I would have, if you got these millionaires and billionaires meddling in public education based upon their own sort of whims, then what is the payoff here? If you're going to put a lot of money behind charter school candidates, surely the investors, they expect a return on their investment, do they not? And how would that manifest itself?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that we should be concerned that a lot of these initiatives, like running candidates for school board, have kind of a profiteering motive rather than an academic motive, right? And in fact, whether we're talking about Broad, whether we're talking about other organizations or foundations that are investing in these kinds of reforms, what we need to think about is how, in so many instances, we are seeing reforms come forward that might use language around equity or around school improvement, but they're actually driven by kind of a corporate agenda that sort of says, not only is there a lot of profit to be made here, but also because, you know, we buy into this rhetoric that the public sector has failed, the solution must therefore be to privatize, right? It's only the private sector that can actually fuel competition and make things better, hence the move towards school choice or vouchers or charter schools and the like. So I think there's multiple messages that are coming together here. There's multiple goals, partly to marketize and privatize, because that buys into the idea that competition is what's going to fuel improvement. Without recognizing that, you know, sometimes competition does fuel improvement, but the reality is we shouldn't be creating a system, an education system, where some win and some lose, which is like an inevitable outcome, right? If you move toward the competitive or market-based system, we shouldn't be creating a system where we expect some kids are going to lose out, or really the masses will lose out. What we should be doing is creating a system where everyone wins, where everyone succeeds and does really well. And I don't think that marketizing a system will lead to that. And I certainly don't think that making decisions because someone has a lot of resources to put behind it, or worse yet, because someone wants to profit from it, those should not be the drivers of decision making. And unfortunately, way too often in this country, it is the case that money matters, and that money is making decisions that are much more harmful to our students than the current reality.
Well, what is happening, though, here in terms of the logic, or the fact that it should be pretty stark, that if you take money away from the existing school system and give it to vouchers and to charter schools and to religious schools, which is what the Trump school choice and Betsy DeVos are all about, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you defund schools, they're not going to get better, they're going to get worse. So their whole idea of improving stuff is completely illogical, because they're basically going to eviscerate the existing situation as opposed to fixing it.
That's absolutely right. We're taking money away from the neighborhood public schools that need it the most. And in fact, one of the latest proposals at the federal level was to get rid of the Department of Education, convert those, you know, billions of dollars of federal dollars into block grants to states to fuel school choice and charter schools. And yeah, let's then look at the what that will do to schools. First of all, the schools that get the most federal dollars are the schools in highest need. They're the ones that serve the largest number of children in poverty, of struggling children, and so on. And so you're actually gutting a vital resource from the federal government for the schools that need it the most, with reform initiatives that actually don't have research to back it up. In fact, there's been a series of studies done over the past year and a half that looks at voucher programs, and it's very disconcerting to see in study after study that children who took advantage of vouchers actually ended up faring less well than their counterparts who remained in the neighborhood public schools. And again, it's not to say that there aren't very good non-public school alternatives out there, but as you're pointing out, it's exactly the case that voucher programs can actually gut the funding for the schools that need it the most without actually a positive return on that investment. It doesn't actually lead towards improvement. So again, we shouldn't be stripping our schools of resources. We should be investing in schools to strengthen the system that needs to be working like a well-oiled machine. All these parts need to be coming together to improve education. And a lot of these reforms are actually breaking the system apart rather than pulling it together.
So a lot of the candidates that the charter school people have put up and backing are Kelly Gonnez, Monica Garcia, and there's already an incumbent, Ref Rodriguez. So it seems like they're also trying to appeal to minority parents. Is this based upon a need, or is this incredibly cynical?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the origins of the charter school movement actually had a lot of communities of color behind it. And the formation of charter schools over the past few decades does include a lot of communities of color. So it's not surprising that they're going to want to make certain that communities of color see that the charter school movement can be of service to them. And again, the reality is that there are some really great charter schools serving all sorts of different communities. But I think you're pointing to one of the cautions that we need to be mindful of, which is that the promise or the rhetoric doesn't always match the reality. And that's what we need leaders to be experts on. We need leaders who actually know the research, who know what initiatives work and doesn't work, and can draw on that expertise to make policy decisions. Not leaders who are almost blindly faithful to certain kind of magic bullet solutions that don't have a research backing to them. And that's why I'm wary anytime a candidate is like, well, here's the thing that we should be doing, and this is the just thing, and you're either for schools or you're not, depending on whether or not you're on my side. I don't think that things are that simplistic. We need leaders who can see the bigger picture with much more complexity, with much more sophistication. And we should have leaders who are skeptical of reforms that sound too easy and too simplistic.
Well, Kevin Kumashiro, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for covering this really vital issue.
And again, I've been speaking with Kevin Kumashiro, who's the Dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also scroll down the right-hand side and sign up for iTunes podcasts. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.